Christ and Jesus. Who wrote it? God. What did He do with it? God the Father wrote it. What did He do with it? He gave it to the Son. What did the Son do with it? He gave it to the angel. What did the angel do with it? Gave it to John. What did John do with it? He gave it to us. That's exactly right. What verse has our outline in it? 119 is correct. It says, the things which thou hast seen. What chapters go with that? What time period is that? Be what? Be the past is right. What chapters go with the past? Chapter 1 is right. And then it says, the things which are. What time period is that? Present tense. What chapters go with the present tense church age? 2 and 3 is correct. Then it says the things which shall be hereafter. What time period is that? That's the future. And what chapters go with that? 4 on is correct. Which, by the way, I don't know if I've said this or not. The tribulation period takes place in chapter 4 to 19. On earth. Now we've been looking at some things that happen in heaven during that time, but we've been talking about the tribulation a lot, and that's chapters 4 to 19. Now how many themes? Two. What's one of them? We're going to adore His person. That's exactly right. It's the revelation of Jesus Christ. He's being revealed to us, and we're going to adore Him. What's the other theme? We're going to accept His plan. We're going to agree with it. God said it, I agree with it. If I don't agree with it, it's still true. But God said it, and I agree with it. And I'm glad. I accept the plan. I accept the plan. Brother Greg, would you pray for us today, please? Now, once again, 2 or 3 weeks ago, we had a lot of singing. We're singing about the Lamb, the song of the Lamb. But now we're in judgment. It's gore and blood and guts. Yeah. Just going to have to tighten up and listen on purpose if you can. Chapter 17, excuse me, is where we're at. Chapter 17 is going to tell us about the one world religion. One world religion. Next week, chapter 18 is going to be about the one world government. And in the beginning, they work hand in hand together. But once the devil gets what he wants, he's done with religion. He just uses religion. I'm sorry. It's all he does. And actually, in 17, we're going to see the destruction of the world's religious system. I'm sorry, Babylon. Old Babylon. The first convert to Babylon was Genesis chapter 4, verse 8. We're talking about the history of spiritual Babylon, religious Babylon, the one world religion. It's in chapter 4, verse 8. And Cain talked with Abel, his brother. And it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and slew him. Religion kills and dooms and damns and destroys. Salvation is Jesus in your heart. That's different than religion. 1 John 3:12, we see another recap on this religion. Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil, and his brother's righteous. And we're talking about the history of spiritual Babylon in the past. Then we see the first church in Genesis chapter 11, verses 1 through 9. And the whole earth was of one language and one speech.
Yeah.
Seemed like everything's okay. But the Lord's always way ahead of us. And it came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. And they said one to another, "Go to, let us make brick and burn them thoroughly." And they had brick for stone. See, religion's a set of substitutes. God made stones, but man made bricks.
Yeah, think about
religion
it.
Is man-made substitutes for the real thing. And then it said they had slime for mortar. And I can just see that green slime those kids play with, not going to hold much together.
Yeah.
Mortar's made out of sand and cement, something that God made, and it's the real thing. Salvation's real.
Yeah.
God's real. Jesus is real. Religion is always a set of counterfeit substitutes, and that's what's going on here. And they said, "Go to, let us build us a city and a tower whose top may reach unto heaven. And let us make us a name." Thank you, Brother Clark. "Lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the earth, of the whole earth." And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of men builded. And the Lord said, "Behold, the people is one. And they have all one language. And this they begin to do. And now nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do. Go to, let us go down." Now God's talking. He said, "Let us." Who's He talking to? God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit are having a conversation. And you saw it again in chapter 1, verse 22. They said, "Let us make man in our image." And God's talking to Himself, if you will. I know some of you do that. You'll be able to understand that. "Go to, let us go down and there confound their language." See, they hadn't thought of that, that it was possible to have two languages. God's always way ahead of us. He knows how to fix things. Now, Brother Rick can go with the Lord or against the Lord, but the Lord's going to get the job done.
Right.
I heard about the fellow that had to push lawnmower, and one wheel was froze up. And it wasn't that big of a yard. The owner said, "I'll just mow it anyway." And he mowed. Now, you can roll if you want to, or you can lock up. But the Lord's going to mow the grass.
Yeah.
He's going to mow the grass. He's going to get it done. And he said, "Go to, let us go down, and there confound their language, that they may not understand one another's speech." That's clear what he's going to do. It's really a prophecy. He said, this is what's going to happen. Verse 8, so, now it's going to happen. The Lord scattered them abroad from thence upon the face of all earth, and they left off to build the city. Therefore is the name of it called Babel, because the Lord did there confound the language. Verse 7 is the prediction. Verse 9, He did it. Once again, you can trust your Bible. You can depend on your Bible. You can rely on your Bible. You can count on it. You can take it to the bank. God did just what He said He would. And He did there confound the language of all the earth. From thence did the Lord scatter them abroad upon the face of all the earth. The Word of God is certain. There's the first convert. There's the first church. The first minister is back in chapter 10, verse 8, Genesis again. And Cush begat Nimrod, and he began to be a mighty one in the earth. And he was a mighty hunter before the Lord. Wherefore it is said, even as Nimrod, the mighty hunter before the Lord. And the beginning of his kingdom was Babel.
Yeah.
Babel. Now, history and the Bible, we'll read some verses about it here. But also history tells us that Nimrod married Samarius. And they claimed Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, which is meant specifically for the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's the first prediction of a Savior to come. Genesis 3:15, it says, "I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed, and it, the woman's seed, the Lord Jesus Christ, baby Jesus, born of a virgin, shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. On Calvary, the enemy bruised Jesus' heel, but he's getting ready to bruise his head. We're in chapter 17, and it's getting pretty close. He's going to get his head bruised here. But Nimrod and Samaria claimed this verse for their first son, Tammuz. Let's read a little bit about that in Ezekiel 8. And again, this is false religion looking for a counterfeit and to twist the scriptures, wrest the scriptures. Ezekiel 8, 13. And he said also to me, turn thee again, and thou shalt see greater abominations that they do. Then he brought me to the door of the gate of the Lord's house, which was toward the north. And behold, there sat women weeping for Tammuz. Then said he unto me, hast thou seen this, O son of man? Turn thee yet again, and thou shalt see greater abominations than these. And he brought me into the inner court of the Lord's house, and behold, at the door of the temple of the Lord, between the porch and the altar, were about 25 men with their backs toward the temple of the Lord and their faces toward the east, and they worshipped the sun toward the east. They came to God's house, but they were worshipping the sun. They were into religion. Jeremiah 7:18. We get another picture of this, a starting of false religion. Religions, really. Jeremiah 7:18. The children gather wood, and the fathers kindle the fire, and the women knead their dough, and make cakes to the Queen of Heaven. They're not worshiping Jehovah, and they're not worshiping Jesus, they're not worshiping the Holy Spirit, they're worshiping the Queen of Heaven to pour out drink offerings unto other gods, little g gods, that they may provoke me to anger, is what the Lord says. Then in chapter 44 of Jeremiah, starting in 23. Because ye have burned incense, because ye have sinned against the Lord, and have not obeyed the voice of the Lord, nor walked in His law, nor in His statutes, nor in His testimonies. Therefore this evil has happened unto you, as at this day. Moreover, Jeremiah said unto all the people and to all the women, hear the word of the Lord, all Judah, that are in the land of Egypt. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, saying, ye and your wives have both spoken with your mouths and fulfilled with your hands, saying, we will surely perform our vows that we have vowed to burn incense to the Queen of Heaven and to pour out drink offerings unto her. Ye will surely accomplish your vows and surely perform your vows. Therefore hear ye the word of the Lord, all Judah that dwell in the land of Egypt. Behold, I have sworn by my great name, saith the Lord, that my name shall no more be named in the mouth of any man of Judah in all the land of Egypt, saying, the Lord God liveth. Behold, I will watch over them for evil and not for good, and all the men of Judah that are in the land of Egypt shall be consumed by the sword and by the famine until there be an end of them. Yet a small number that escape the sword shall return out of the land of Egypt into the land of Judah, and all the remnant of Judah that are going into the land of Egypt to sojourn there shall know whose words shall stand, mine or theirs.
Yeah.
I'm glad we're going to accept the plan.
Yeah.
We're going to adore the person and accept the plan. Well, this is how the mother-child cult got started. Samarius, Nimrod, and Tammuz. Samarius was the Queen of Heaven, and she said she was the way to God. Samarius alone could administer salvation through holy water sacraments. Tammuz was killed by wild hogs. I'm just reading. Resurrected 40 days later, they claim that Genesis 3:15 on that. And after a 40-day fast, they have a feast with colored eggs, evergreen tree, a yule log, and making a big holiday. Let's look at it in 1 Kings 16. Now, by the time of the cross, Rome had incorporated all of these things we just read right there. 1 Kings 16, 30. Starting in verse 30. And Ahab, the son of... This continues on now into more false religion. And Ahab, the son of Omri, did evil in the sight of the Lord above all that was before him. And it came to pass, as if it had been a light thing for him to walk in the sins of Jeroboam, sons of Nebat, that he took the wife Jezebel, the daughter of Ethbaal, king of the Sidonians, and went and served Baal and worshipped him. And he reared up an altar to Baal in the house of Baal, which he built in Samaria. And Ahab made a grove, and Ahab did more to provoke the Lord God of Israel to anger than all the kings of Israel that were before him. Now this is the past. That was Babylon in the past, or false religion. All false religions, that's, we saw where they started and then grew out of this. That's in the past. Now in the present day, false religion, or Babylon, spiritual Babylon, 2 Timothy 3. And there's all kinds of verses on this. We've tried to cut it down. 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 5. Just know that in the last days, perilous times shall come. You get a witness right there. All you got to do is watch the news or read the newspaper. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. In chapter 4 right there in 2 Timothy verses 3 and 4. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. I'm glad we're going to adore the plan, accept the plan. 2 Peter 2:1. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And then Revelation 3. Verse 15. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth, because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not. Again, it's just amazing today what we do not know.
Right.
Knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. Now let's start chapter 17. Revelation 17, verse 1. Here's the Babylonian system. And there came one of the seven angels which had the seven vials and talked with me, saying to me, come up hither and I'll show thee the judgment of the great whore, the Babylonian false religion, the cult that sitteth upon many waters. And this system is worldwide. It's religious and political. In the beginning, the religion supports the political, but in the end, the political kills the religion. And the devil wants worship. He's done with religion. He's done with it. The religious system symbolized by the mother and the political as the monster. The beast controls the system and creates the city of Babylon in chapter 18. The whole thing began with religion. The scarlet woman has one master craving, and that's power. The great harlot is the part of the church that will remain after the true church is raptured in chapter 4, verse 1. Let me say that again. The great harlot, the false church, is the part of the true church that will remain after the true church is raptured out. In chapter 4, verse 1. Let's just read 4:1 again, just to have something positive right here in the middle of all this negative. I know this is a lot of negative. I hate to just pile it all right on you. But Revelation 4:1, we go home. Yeah. We go up. And all we're talking about is what's left here. Revelation 4:1, after this I looked, and behold, a door was open in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I'll show thee things which must be hereafter. So we're gone already. This is the false church that's left behind after that we're talking about. The Babylonian church. The religion. Religion. Now, bringing all religions together is more dangerous than any other movement. I've got one grunt right there. Now, let me say that again. I don't want us to miss this. Today, they call it the ecumenical movement. Yeah. Bringing all religions together is more dangerous than any other movement.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it dazzles many. When you say, let's just all get together, a lot of people just think, well, that's a wonderful thing. Well, it may be. It might not be. Which Bible are we going to use?
Right.
Yeah. What are we going to believe? Yeah, what are we going to teach? Religion is far removed from the living Christ that lives in your heart. Religion is far removed from the living Christ. See, we have a relationship with Him. And our job is to glorify Him. And our job is to fellowship with Him. When I pray, I talk to Him. When I read the Bible, He talks to me. And it's a personal relationship. A salvation. Completely different from religion.
Right.
Completely different. Religion is far removed from the living Christ. Confusion is compounded by religion.
Yes.
There's no victory. No victory. It was Babylon that put the three Hebrew boys in the fiery furnace.
Right.
It was false religion. There's been many wars fought over religion.
Yes. Yes.
Crusades. Yes. Campaigns. Verse 2, Revelation 17:2. Her influence, the great harlot here, the scarlet harlot, is used to corrupt and seduce the entire earth. Revelation 17:2. With whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. This is religion, false religion. Verse 3. The scarlet woman rides a scarlet colored beast. And so he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and 10 horns. And then you see in verse 4 that she's wearing scarlet also, purple and scarlet. This is pseudo-religion. Pseudo means pretend or almost. It's almost religion. Almost. It's like evolution. Evolution is almost science. It's not science. It's almost. It's a pseudoscience. It's a pretend science.
Right.
It almost comes up to being a science, but it's not. It's not a science. And this is almost a religion. It started back, let's look at it in Revelation 13:1. And I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns were 10 crowns, upon his heads the name of blasphemy. And this continued on to right here. Verse 4, she's going to possess unlimited wealth and prosperity. Which, by the way, several years ago, 20 years ago or something, the Roman Catholic Church claimed to be worth $70 billion. The richest organization on earth, as far as I know.
Yeah.
Verse 4, and the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. Let's look at something in Isaiah 1:18 here about this scarlet. Isaiah 1:18 says, "Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow." See, in our minds, many times we use black as a picture of sin, and that's not what the Bible does. It uses scarlet or red or crimson. "Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." Like the red light district, if you will.
Yeah.
Now back to Revelation 17:5. Upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of the harlots and abomination of the earth. Harlots in the old Bible, they wore either an ornament right here, maybe had their name written right there, maybe a dot, something like that. Like harlots, she has her name written on her forehead. Idols are never very far away from immorality. Idols, I-D-O-L-S. Idols are never very far away from immorality.
Right.
She's born at the Tower of Babel, and she has many apostate children, many illegitimate children, many apostate denominations and illegitimate denominations, if you will.
Yeah.
Verse 6, she's drunk with the blood of God's saints. This is the Babylonian mother. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. Verse 7 and 8, she teams up with the beast now. And the angel said unto me, "Wherefore didst thou marvel? I will tell thee the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carrieth her, which hath the 7 heads and the 10 horns. The beast that thou sawest was, and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition," go into hell. "And they that dwell on the earth shall wonder, whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they beheld the beast that was and is not and yet is." Here's the Babylonian monster. The beast and the emperors team up to deceive Christ rejectors, to deceive earth dwellers, to deceive those that's left behind. See, if I reject the truth, I will embrace a lie.
Yeah.
You have to if you reject the truth. It's important what we believe.
Yes, it is.
It's very important what we believe. The devil has a large stock of comfortable beliefs. He has a large stock of convenient beliefs and customized beliefs,
yeah,
to fit your own. Just get the latest version. There's about 400 of them. A new one comes out about every 6 months. Just get the ones that fit you, and there you go. Verse 9. She may have her headquarters in Rome. Maybe. And here's the mind which hath wisdom. The 7 heads are 7 mountains. There's a good King James definition. The 7 heads are the 7 mountains. We've been reading about that, on which the woman sitteth. They say Rome is built on 7 mountains. But I don't think that's the only city. It may be Rome. Verse 10. She puts the Antichrist in power, and he turns on her and she's desolate and naked now. Verse 10, there are seven kings, five are fallen, one is, the other is not. He's not yet come, and when he cometh, he must continue a short space. Let's look at that in chapter 3, verse 18 again. Chapter 3, verse 18, I counsel thee to buy me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. There's still time today. I can still get in today. You can still get in today. Back in 1711 now, the Antichrist now has two comings. Again, imitating the real thing, the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 11, and the beast that was and is not, even he is the eighth and is of the seven, and goeth into perdition. Verse 12 and 13, and the ten horns which thou sawest are ten kings. Here's just some more definitions. And have received no power as yet, but receive power as kings 1 hour with the beast. These have one mind and shall give their power and strength unto the beast. Henry Spaak, S-P-A-A-K, a minister, a prime minister to NATO, said, we do not want another committee. We want a man to lift us out. Send such a man, and be he God or be he devil, we will receive him. And that's just about the state the world's in today. Verse 14. These shall make war with the capital L Lamb. Fools. I'll go ahead and say fools right here. And the Lamb, the big Lamb, shall overcome them. Why? For he's the Lord. He's the big Lord of lords and the big K of kings. And they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful. Here comes the King.
Amen.
Here comes the King who's faithful and true. That's his nature. He can do no other. He's a man of war. He's been judging, but now he makes war. He's fed up. It's all over in a flash. Just a word. Just one word. And the battle of Armageddon, the war of Armageddon's over. For long centuries, he's patiently endured scoffing. He's endured insults. He's endured bad manners. But this is the high water mark. He made peace with his blood, and now he makes war over the same blood. Germany's never recovered from the disease of anti-Semitism. The best friend the Jews ever had comes to their aid, a stone cut without hands out of the book of Daniel. 17 and 18. For God hath put in their hearts to fulfill his will and to agree and give their kingdom unto the beast until the words of God shall be fulfilled. And the woman which thou sawest is that great city which reigneth over the kings of the earth. The beast hates and destroys religious Babylon. Religion's done with now. And he does it at the beginning of the last 3.5 years of the tribulation, or you might want to say in the middle of the tribulation. Commercial Babylon, chapter 18, is loved by the world and is destroyed by the return of Christ when he comes back. That's at the end of the tribulation. Got just a couple of minutes, but that's a large handout. On the next page, there's that chart I promised you last week, and then some explanation about it. And then you get a couple of extra charts in there at no cost, same price. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for writing it down in Jesus' name. Amen.